Now she should probably be trying to get out. Madison, she's having fun, living that old-time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure,
and probably extra work for me. Yeah, well, go for Madison.
Madison.
I mean, Nero Wolf's office, Madison Standish speaking. Yeah, duh, I know it's Christmas Eve. We do a Christmas episode every year. What? Who is this? Ha ha, aren't you kind of busy tonight? Yeah, okay, sure, come over at 8. Later.
What the devil was that?
You might be on the naughty list.
Naughty list?
Santa Claus apparently wants to meet with you. In person.
You've been drinking.
What has that got to do with anything?
Just whom am I meeting with tonight?
Santa Claus. He's got a problem.
Indeed.
Apparently, somebody's going around slaughtering Santa Clauses. I'm putting my money on Rudolph.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, bulkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world, that chairborne genius, Nero Wolf.
What the announcer dude means is, Nero Wolf is like 300 pounds. And they kind of make that his defining characteristic. Rude, I know. But he's also like a brilliant detective. However, he doesn't like to leave the house, so he makes his assistant Archie do all the legwork for him. Well, Archie asked me to cover for him for the holidays. Told me it's the slow period and I totes get paid to just, like, sit around. Which was true until we got the call from old Saint Nick. What Wolf eventually dubbed the Case of the Slaughtered Santas started earlier than 8 that Christmas Eve, though. It began, to be precise, on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. It was close to 6 p.m. The weather was bitter cold, and the sky was already dark.
Hey, how you doing, Turner?
Oof, well, I'm freezing to death, officer.
It's a cold day. You packing up?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's Christmas Eve. Not many people around anymore. All headed for home and hearth.
How was the collection?
Well, I don't need no armored car, but a few dozen kids are gonna have something for their Christmas stockings.
Your competition, the guy on the opposite corner, he already scrammed.
Well, maybe he's the real Santa. Hey, how about giving me a hand to the collection pot off the chain there?
Sure, here you go.
Thank you.
I'll just walk you down the block. Got a phone in.
Okay, fine.
Look over there. One Santa's still left. Wonder what he's waiting for.
Maybe his reindeer's late.
Yeah. Now, watch yourself going down those chimneys.
Sure. Well, I'll cut across the avenue here. Be seeing you.
Hey, Turner! That car coming down the street got its lights out. Look out!
Hey, stop!
Ah! Hey, Peg?
Yeah?
Did I ever tell you I love you?
It's not me you love. It's the hot soup.
Ah, now, you're not the only woman who can cook a dish of soup.
Is that right?
It helps, though. I'm just beginning to thaw out.
Yeah, that's a cold corner you play Santa Claus on.
Well, it don't hurt to make a few bucks. I ain't done so good this past year. Well, maybe next year will be... Oh, well. Besides, you know, I kind of like it, you know? Kids asking questions all day long.
That's sweet.
Say, we got any eggnog? I mean, it is Christmas Eve.
Not unless you finish all your soup.
I'm finished!
Okay, I'll heat it up for you.
Peg, you know, one of them other Santas got hit by a car tonight.
He did?
Yeah, he packed up a few minutes before I did, started crossing the avenue, and bang, he hit and run driver.
Was he hurt?
Yeah, he was killed.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Here's your eggnog. Such a shame. But with traffic the way it is nowadays.
Somebody at the door. I'll get it.
Okay, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Can I help you?
Ugh! Michael? Mike!
Mr. Wolf?
Yes, Madison?
I've been thinking.
Good heavens.
Well, if you're going to be that way, I'll just go ahead and read what they wrote in the original script.
What's that? That I'd make a wonderful Santa Claus because of my physical stature?
Which I think is insensitive and rude.
So you were thinking about censoring it?
Well, yeah.
Projecting your own insensitivities onto me is as much of an insult as the original comment.
What do you mean?
You prescribe to me how you think I should react to something, rather than allowing me to have my own response. Is that not true?
But it's fat shaming.
Fat shaming, is it? To say my physique is similar to that of a jolly old man who most of the world adores?
But I have no right to refer to your physique.
Much like I had no right to make a snide remark to your saying you were thinking.
Yeah.
Welcome to comedy writing, my dear. Feelings may get hurt. Ah, that's the front door.
Okay, wait. I'm confused.
I'm sure that happens often. You might see who's at the door.
I mean, I'm right, right? It's a fat joke. That's totally insensitive. He's old. My generation understands this stuff. He doesn't know anything. Yeah? Ooh, Santa baby! I've been an awful good girl.
I dislike dawdling on anyone's doorstep.
Then hurry down the chimney tonight.
May I come in?
Come on in. Attitude much? Some kid sit on your lap and dampen your holiday spirit?
Mr. Wolf has been warned of my arrival?
Yeah, he left out milk and cookies. Mr. Wolf, this is, dun-da-da, Santa Claus! A hushed murmur befalls the crowd. Hushed murmur, hushed murmur.
My name is Barton, John Barton.
How do you do, sir?
I have no time for the social graces.
It's Santa! Oh my God, it's really Santa! Hushed murmur, hushed murmur.
Or this
hush,
girl.
Hush, I apologize, Mr. Barton. Even the real Kris Kringle couldn't be jolly around her.
Are you kidding? My specialty is sitting on men's laps.
Please! I'm about to be murdered!
You pissed off some elves.
I am being serious. I'm a frightened man, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed?
This costume you see me in is responsible for it all.
Then why are you in it?
I had a notion it might be, well, entertaining to play Santa Claus. I'm a wealthy man, sir. I can afford to have whims. Therefore, I assume this masquerade. However, it apparently is going to be the death of me.
I got death threats when I played Cinderella. I was supposed to win over the handsome prince, right? But you'd be surprised how many of them have jealous girlfriends.
Mr. Barton, you have adequately conveyed an atmosphere and an emotion. And Madison, you have pointlessly interrupted.
You're welcome.
And again. Now, Mr. Barton, I suggest you concentrate on the facts.
Very well. I have been acting as Santa Claus for the Tuberculosis Fund. My station is the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle Avenue. I might add the northeast corner.
Why?
Because at that intersection, there have been two other Santa Clauses. One on the southeast corner and one on the southwest corner.
Three Santa Clauses, then, on three corners.
What are you, Starbucks?
Earlier tonight, the man on the southwest corner started home. He was crossing the avenue when he was run down and killed by an automobile.
That driver is so on the naughty list.
Ah, a regrettable accident.
The car was running without lights. It deliberately ran the fellow down and then vanished. Not an accident, Mr. Wolf.
You saw this yourself.
I did. One Santa Claus dead. Now, the Santa on the southeast corner got home all right. However, according to the radio news flash, that's where he was killed by bullets.
Dude, Santa's not even safe at the North Pole.
Coincidence.
Possibly, but I don't want to risk my life on that chance. I'll write you a check as a retainer, then hurry along home. I'm late now.
No.
I beg your pardon?
You will neither hurry home nor notify anyone at your home of your whereabouts.
But
you'll remain here.
Are we illegally detaining Santa Claus?
The house is well guarded.
By the National Guard?
I insist that you stay until such time as I think it's safe for you to leave.
I can't do that.
In which case, I cannot accept you as a client.
I fail to understand.
I get it. Santa won't be safe until they finally release the naughty files. Naughty list.
What?
Mr. Barton, it is very easy to murder someone. Avoiding the consequences of such an action is something else again. However, I'm assuming that you're not primarily interested in what happens to your murderer after you're dead.
Of course not.
Therefore, you will remain here. Madison.
Yeah?
First, go to the corner of 34th and Carlisle. I want a complete report.
But that's nonsense. The corner will be deserted now.
He's right. It's night now. I won't find St. Nick. In that neighborhood, all I'll find are cheap tricks. I want you to want me.
Mr. Barton, you're hiring my intelligence. You will therefore permit me to use it as I see fit. A complete report, Madison.
Like with footnotes?
Then you will visit Inspector Kramer at headquarters. You will, in whatever manner you find effective, collect all the police information about the two already murdered Santas.
Manner I find effective. I'm going to need a lower cut sweater.
Your levity is ill-timed.
Who's levitting? It's effective.
And on your way home, Madison, you might stop in at Mr. Barton's place.
I don't see any purpose in that.
Mr. Barton, there is a basic problem to which we must find an answer. Whether those two men were murdered because they were Santa Clauses, or because their deaths were merely preliminaries to yours. Madison, I suggest haste.
Haste makes waste.
Please don't make me reply with a barb against your intelligence. The subject lacks challenge.
Fat ass!
There might be hope for her yet.
Okay, here we are. 34th and Carlisle. Empty. Jeez, it's freezing out here. This has got to be one of the worst holiday jobs I've ever had. Well, except that year my brother convinced me to be a door-to-door Christmas tree salesman. Lugging those heavy Boston furs all over Beverly Hills. No one wanted them. And because I smelled like sap, I had little rich dogs peeing down my leg.
Hey, lady.
Not for sale.
What's not for sale?
Any part of me.
I was hoping maybe you got the price of a cup of coffee.
The price? Hard to say in this era, but I usually pay about $7.50 for my mocha lattes.
I was thinking more along the lines of 2 bits.
2 bits of what?
Either you're gonna dig it up or you ain't.
Dig 2 bits of what up? And what's that got to do with coffee?
I'm asking you for a quarter, lady.
You are? Oh, dude, you suck at panhandling.
I asked for a quarter, not a critique.
You're also very rude.
This is the hardest I ever worked for 2 bits in my life.
Okay, here's a quarter. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and a Happy New Year's to you.
Aw, being hit up for money on the street by some nasty, dirty guy. If he smelled like pot and threw up on my shoes, it'd be like I was back in L.A. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Great. Stop number 2 at the police station, and it sounds like Applebee's during the Super Bowl. I just hope they don't try grabbing me thinking they're at Hooters. Like, I expect more than minimum wage if my job involves groping.
If all you reporters will shut up and ask your questions one by one, I'll answer them.
Inspector Kramer, is it true a couple of Santa Clauses have been knocked off tonight?
It's true. 2 men who have been employed as Santa Claus by charitable organizations have been murdered.
Any connection between those 2 guys, or does somebody just hate Santa Claus?
Well, so far as we know, there is no connection.
That means it could be maybe some kind of maniac who decided he doesn't like Christmas or Santa Clauses. The Grinch who murdered Christmas!
The department is investigating along those lines.
Like how?
We're checking on local asylums for possible escaped lunatics.
Okay, but what if the crazy dude was never in an asylum? Like, I just ran into a guy on the street who thought he could get a cup of coffee for a quarter. He's crazy, right?
That'll be all, boys.
But, Inspector, what about...
I said that'll be all. Now, if anything new comes in, you'll get it. You understand? Good day, gentlemen. Hey, hey, little lady, come here.
Hello, Inspector.
I spotted you coming in. I haven't seen you around before. What rank's got you covering this beat?
Could you rephrase that in the form of English?
What newspaper do you work for?
Oh, I'm not a reporter. But by the looks of your press corps, your newspapers around here could stand a little DEI. Heavy on the D.
Okay, so you don't work for a newspaper.
I mean, seriously, you got a lot of crackers in that barrel, you know what I'm saying?
Then what are you doing here?
I'm Madison Standish. I'm working for Nero Wolfe. And he and I object to Santa Claus's being killed.
Nuts.
Hey, be careful what you say. Some people are allergic to nuts.
Yeah, I think we're done here.
What more can you tell me about these murders? Taking note of my extremely low-cut Christmas sweater?
What about the sweater?
It helps me jingle all the way.
Look, I got no information on the case. No more than I already stated to the press.
The sweater didn't do it for you?
Kindly see yourself out, huh?
Damn, my low-cut Christmas sweater wasn't effective? Am I losing my appeal like some haggard 30-year-old? No wonder ugly people get depressed around Christmas.
Yes?
Trick or treat!
I beg your pardon?
I know so many people who want to celebrate Halloween year-round, but that was weird, wasn't it?
How may I help you?
Mind if I come in? I'm from L.A. and prefer when snow is a novelty up in the mountains. This everyday cold and snow? Mm-mm. Unsubscribe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please come in, Miss...
Madison Standish. You the maid or something?
No, I'm Laura Barton.
I thought you were dressed too nice. Place like this should have a butler, shouldn't it? My mom always wanted to have a butler to answer the door. She thought that would be really high class. So she trained our dog to open the door. But one time it was the mailman and, well, let's just say we lost postal service for a year.
We do have a butler, Pleasant, but I'm not sure where he is at the moment.
Didn't you give him off for Christmas Eve?
No. He usually visits family for Christmas Day.
Wait, you said Laura Barton? Mrs. Laura Barton?
No.
Good. I thought you were too young for John Barton, but you never know with gold diggers.
I am his niece.
His niece? And you live here?
Yes.
His grown niece living with him? Is that a rich person thing? Like, there are so many stories with adult nieces and nephews living with the rich aunts and uncles. This is not a world I know. My aunt has a one-bedroom condo in the valley. Ugh.
Laura, I was wondering if we had... I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had a guest.
Not my guest, Uncle.
No? Then what does she want?
Well, I don't know.
Wait, this guy's your uncle? I thought John Barton was your uncle.
John Barton is my half-brother.
And you live here too?
Yes.
I really am missing out not having a rich family member to live off of.
Laura and I seem to be doing all the answering. How about your answering some questions, starting with who you are?
Madison Standish.
Wayne Stevens. Now that we've become acquainted, what do you want?
For Christmas? Oh, I would love a new iPhone. I haven't been able to upgrade since I got zapped into these old-timey radio shows.
What?
And then for a stocking stuffer? How about some Wi-Fi so I can actually use it?
I think you've knocked on the wrong door. Laura, see her out.
No, wait, hang on. I came to see Mr. Barton.
He's not at home. What did you want with him?
Conversation?
About?
About him having a spare room so I could move in?
Miss Standish, you must have some reason for coming here. Some reason concerning my uncle?
Laura, you're being imaginative.
Well, Uncle John is late.
He's probably still on that street corner playing Santa Claus. He enjoys it.
I know. Except...
Except he's never been this late before?
Well, no. Not since he started that masquerade of his. Laura, did you ask Pleasant?
No, he's not here.
Well, that's just typical.
Yes, it's so hard to find good people to overwork and underpay these days.
Pleasant is probably in his room getting drunk. He likes to look on the wine when it's red, or even when it's white.
He's home? Can I speak with him?
No, I take that back. Now that I think of it, he prefers Irish whiskey. We don't stock it, so he goes out.
Sounds like if you treated him better, he wouldn't feel the need to self-medicate with whiskey. But What do I know? I never lived off of a rich relative. I'm still excited to get the $5 bill in my birthday card from my aunt. Well, later.
Good night.
I'll see you out. The front walk can be icy this time of year.
You guys should salt your front walk, because that's just a lawsuit waiting to happen. I should know. I filed a lot of them.
Miss Standish, you must know something about Uncle John. Something you didn't want to tell us.
Why would you say that?
Well, otherwise your visit was just pointless.
Congratulations! You've discovered the secret of life.
I have?
Everything is just pointless.
Well, that's very pessimistic.
Maybe I'll feel differently when I find my own rich uncle.
You needn't be nasty. I'm truly worried for my uncle.
Maybe he stopped off to have a whiskey with your butler.
Uncle John doesn't drink. He's very responsible and reliable. When I say it's not like him to be late getting home, I mean it.
Okay. This is a free country. If you were to say, follow me, I couldn't stop you.
I'll go get my coat.
I'll be at the end of the drive. Maybe turning right.
Thank you, Miss Standish.
Or I may be turning left. I really don't know my way back from here.
Is that you, Madison?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly took you long enough.
If my iPhone could connect to GPS, I wouldn't keep getting lost. Hey, where's Santa?
Guest room. He was tired. Now, your report.
First, I gotta say, I was followed home.
Followed?
She's really cute, and it's so cold out there tonight, I couldn't bear to leave her whining on the front step.
Nothing doing. I abhor dogs.
Good, because it's not a dog. It's a woman.
Fully.
I could give her a bowl of kibble, but she might freeze to death out there.
That's her problem. Your report, Madison.
Damn! You're so cold, I might freeze to death in here.
The sooner I get the report, the sooner you can let your little stray inside.
Okay, fine. The corner of 34th and Carlisle is totes dead at night. Nobody around except for some guy who wanted 25 cents for a coffee.
You will not put that quarter on the expense account.
I'll cover it. I consider coffee humanitarian aid.
Nothing else?
There are four corners.
Brilliant investigative work.
I tell you to stop jumping in and interrupting, but it's the most exercise you've gotten all day.
You're getting better at this.
Corner number one had a toy shop. Corner number two, shoe store. Oh, and some of the shoes they had were so cute. These little shorty winter boots with a heel and faux fur.
Madison.
Third corner, drugstore. And, drumroll please, the fourth corner had a bank on it.
A bank? Interesting. And Inspector Kramer's information consisted of?
Not much. No connection between the two murdered Santas.
Except for the fact that they were both playing Santa Claus.
Well, yeah, given.
So your means of extracting more information from the police was not very effective then?
I went in with my low-cut sweater. Maybe he plays for the other team.
And the Barton home?
Gorgeous. Vaulted ceilings, marble floors, mahogany staircase.
Any information outside of what was written in Architectural Digest?
Butler's a drunk, Barton is never late, and his niece and half-brother live off of him.
Did you get any of their names? Or is that too much for me to ask?
Pleasant Laura Stevens.
What do I care if Laura Stevens is Pleasant?
No, the butler is Pleasant, and
I asked for their names, not their personalities. Try rubbing those two brain cells you had together and actually answer my question.
Listen to me. The butler is Pleasant.
You're trying to frustrate me into letting the girl in. I assume it was the niece who followed you here.
Well, yeah.
Fine. We'll let her in.
He's super cranky. He must have missed second breakfast. Laura? Laura!
Yes?
Oh, for a second there, I thought that statue was you frozen like the White Witch in Narnia.
It's a statue of a horse.
You could be a centaur.
Hurry up, Madison. I haven't got all night.
Laura Barton, the always fat but never jolly Mr. Nero Wolf.
All right. You're getting a bit too free with those comments now.
You encouraged me to be a mean girl. I can't just turn that off.
How do you do, Mr. Wolf?
How much money do you inherit on the death of your uncle?
What?
That is what's known as the shock treatment. However, I need an answer.
Uncle John isn't dead, is he?
What makes you think he's dead?
Madison, that is not the line of questioning I am pursuing.
What makes you think you shouldn't pursue it?
Answer the question, Miss Barton. How much?
Half his estate.
And the other half?
My other uncle, Wayne Stevens, Uncle John's half-brother.
Very well. Madison, will you go upstairs and inform Mr. Barton that his niece is here?
Uncle is here?
Yeah, but truth be told, he's a pretty snooty Santa. Like, I think he'd demand name-brand cookies. They want me to give them toys, but instead of Oreos, they left me Hydrox? Next house, Rudolph!
Yes?
It's Madison, Santa. Time to bring joy to all the little girls and boys.
What exactly do you mean?
Wolf wants you to come downstairs. You have a special guest.
Guest? What guest? I did as Mr. Wolf instructed. I told no one where I was.
But your niece followed me here.
My niece?
Yeah. While I have you, you think you can find space for another young blonde? I don't take up much room. I just require a personal chef. A gun? Jeez, a simple no would suffice.
I always carry a revolver. A man of my wealth can't take chances.
I've had worse landlords.
Turn around, Miss Standish.
If you're sizing up my ass, I don't trade sex for rent. Not again. Couldn't exactly get a receipt. So when the jerk evicted me, no legal recourse.
Miss Standish.
What I can offer you is my coming down to breakfast in just a bra and panties. Deal?
No. You and Mr. Wolf were supposed to be protecting me.
We are. Hence the accommodations in Wolf's house. Might not be as fancy as your place, but at mine, the pipes keep freezing. My landlord told me water was a seasonal utility.
But you let that girl into this house. If I had the time, I'd be amused. As it is...
Oh, bad Santa.
Madison, have you been drinking?
I don't think so. Usually the headache comes the next morning.
Your head!
Good heavens, that's some welt.
Yeah, Santa Claus came early. And you know how men hate to come early.
You had better sit.
If you don't mind my not getting up again for the rest of the episode.
Should we get her some ice?
Good idea. Madison, don't sit down. Get yourself some ice first.
Wow, you won't even get out of that chair to walk 5 feet into the kitchen?
Why should I? You're already standing.
I guess you need a dinner bell for inspiration.
And here I was, refraining from any comments about how little damage you would sustain from a knock to your head.
I can get the ice for you.
Nah, you got bigger problems. After your uncle hit me, he took off.
Oh, no.
Indeed?
Yeah, must have used the back staircase.
Did he offer a reason for his peculiar behavior?
Her.
Me?
Interesting.
I don't understand. Uncle John wouldn't do...
Uncle John apparently has done. He also, it would appear, fancies himself in costume.
Like a drag queen?
Well, he used to be very much interested in the stage. He acted for a while, a long time ago, till the family objected.
To him being a drag queen.
Madison?
The phone is literally arm's length in front of you on the desk.
I'm not paying you so I can answer my own phone.
Yeah, hello. Nero Wolf's office. The slightly concussed Madison Standish speaking.
So you do work for Nero Wolf. Good to know. This is Inspector Kramer. Let me have Wolf.
It's Inspector Kramer. Can I get that ice now? Maybe some aspirin?
Just wait there. I may need you. Yes, Inspector.
You're working on a Santa Claus case, aren't you?
A possibility.
You didn't send that girl to headquarters on a possibility. Now look, if it doesn't strain your professional ethics, you might be able to help.
How?
There's a bank on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. We got the thought that a gang might be preparing to take that bank tomorrow morning. Those Santa Clauses have been on the corner for nearly a week now. They might have noticed something about the bank's routine, guards or what have you. Something that could interfere with the gang's plan.
I have, at the moment, no opinion.
That's all you're going to give us?
At the moment. However, Inspector, in a very little while, I shall give you the murderer. Madison, Miss Barton will remain here with me. As for you...
I should rest in case I suffered brain damage?
If that were the case, how would any of us be able to tell?
I'm going to lock the refrigerator. Then we'll see how clever you are.
You'll return to 34th Street and find our coffee-loving friend.
You're sending me on a coffee run?
I'm sending you to find the panhandler who asked you for money for coffee.
But I could still go on a coffee run. A mocha latte would sure help this bump on my head.
You may return here with coffee as long as you also return here with the panhandler.
A minute ago, you got upset thinking I brought home a stray dog. But you're good with me bringing home some crazy lunatic?
Well, chances are he's housebroken.
You are clearly not acquainted with crazy lunatics. Hey, excuse me?
Yeah?
Oh, thank God! Finally!
Finally? Finally what?
I finally found you. Do you know what it's like to be a young, beautiful woman tasked with approaching every guy standing alone on the streets of New York City?
Wait, I've seen you before. I thought you said you weren't for sale.
I'm not. But tonight I've gotten some very interesting offers. One involved gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was a bit sacrilegious for this time of year, but intriguing.
So are you looking for me or not?
Why are all the guys so cranky in this episode? It's Christmas! Where's the Christmas spirit?
If you're here to give me a Christmas miracle, I don't need it.
It would be a Christmas miracle if you showered, but that's not why I was looking for you. I need you to come with me.
Is that so?
Aw, what? You got a gun, too? All right, I'm officially annoyed. Drop it! Drop it!
Let go of me, will you? Ow! You slapped my face!
Worked, didn't it?
You're wearing some really sharp rings.
And you've got a really nice gun. Gold-plated with mother-of-pearl? For a panhandler?
It was a Christmas gift.
Gift, huh? Let's see. Bullets included. That was thoughtful. All right, looks like you're coming with me.
Why should I?
Besides the gun pointed at you? Well, how about because my boss will fire me at Christmas? And that's sad, right? And you don't want the girl with the gun to be sad.
Who's your boss?
Nero Wolf.
Nero Wolf? Well, why does he want to see me?
He's Shia Wiseman for the nativity scene. Now, come on. On that note, what do you know about the erotic qualities of myrrh?
Myrrh?
Yeah. According to that other guy, I was going to experience a very holy night.
That you, Madison?
Yep.
Hurry, we have guests waiting.
Christmas guests? Ow. Laura's other uncle. I thought you might be home waiting for the arrival of three ghosts.
Laura rung me. We're both terribly worried about John.
So worried that at your place you gave me the bum's rush? Oh, no offense.
Why did you direct that at me?
Would you like a mirror?
Ah, I see you were able to procure the coffee aficionado from 34th and Carlisle.
Dude came armed, and this isn't a Red Ryder BB gun. You'll shoot your brains out.
Won't you join us and sit down, sir?
I don't have to.
I really don't think you want him on the furniture.
Wolf, what does all this have to do with my brother?
John Barton played Santa Claus all week on one of the corners of 34th Street and Carlisle.
We know that.
Bear with me, if you would, Mr. Stevens. I'm setting the scene.
Then you don't mind if I sit down? I feel like this is going to be longer than when Mary went into labor.
Everyone... sit down, so I may solve this case.
I'm still not sitting.
Come on. Those crappy old shoes must be hurting your feet.
They're not.
Actually, those are pretty nice-looking shoes. Italian leather?
What do I know from Italians?
If I may continue. Now, on two other corners, two other men indulged in the same Santa Claus activity. Those two other men are now dead.
Oh, no. Uncle!
Wait a second, Mr. Wolf. You mean they were killed by mistake for John?
It is true that one man made up as Santa Claus looks very much like any other man similarly costumed. But the answer is no. One of the two men was shot in his home after he removed his costume.
He was shot in his underwear?
Presumably not. He was shot while answering the door.
I've answered the door in my underwear. I figure after driving around all day, those Uber Eats guys deserve a treat.
But then, what's the connection, Mr. Wolf?
Miss Barton, in the event that you wanted to hide a tree, where would you hide it?
Hide a tree? Why, I wouldn't even begin to know.
In a forest!
Ah, very good, Madison.
The saint used the same analogy in our episode together. Episode 15, The Corpse Said Ouch. Any of you heard it?
No.
Maybe.
I'd like to continue with this episode, if it's not too much to ask. Now, if you wanted to hide a murder, you'd adopt the same principle.
Wait, you mean that if someone wanted to kill Uncle John and didn't want to be suspected, he'd
go about murdering several people with an ostensible, if lunatic, reason. He would, let us say, go about killing Santa Clauses.
Oh, I get it. So then people would think the man the murderer really wanted dead had just been a random victim lumped in with all the others.
True. That is why.
That's how I got Lisa Clark kicked off the cheerleading squad. I hated that my BFF Andrea got swept into the Nair in the shampoo bottle scandal, but Lisa had to go.
That was why two Santa Clauses were murdered tonight. The third Santa Claus, however, the real object of the murderer's attention, was luckier or suspicious. He fled.
Do I have to hang around here and listen to all this?
You do, my unwashed friend.
Unwashed?
Dude, your face is so dirty, it looks like you smeared charcoal all over it. Which I highly recommend as a cleansing and exfoliating mask. Seriously, when you wash all that off, you're gonna have glowing skin.
As it stands, Mr. Burton fled, and the murderer was in a quandary. He had invested in two murders merely to make the third one confusing. But he found himself unable to commit that third murder. He couldn't find his victim. Could he ask the police to do so?
No!
That was rhetorical.
Oh, what? Did you go to Harvard before you started begging for quarters? Or was that your major?
Mr. Wolf, you said he wouldn't go to the police. So where would he go?
The murderer might try to inveigle a private detective, such as myself, into the job.
That makes sense, Mr. Wolf, but why would my brother have deliberately fled from your house? He was protected here.
Well, a man in a Santa Claus costume came here and said he was Vaughn. However, he was an obvious imposter. He proved that by his flight when his niece came here.
You mean he could fool you, but he knew he wouldn't be able to fool me.
Precisely. Therefore, it was not Barton. Who was it? Who else had disappeared at the propitious moment?
You mean the butler did it? Are we ending on a cliché?
He was an accomplice, but not the murderer. Madison, that gun you took from the dirty gentleman, you still have it?
Yeah, I put it in my purse.
Would you mind retrieving it and pointing it at Mr. Stevens here until the police remove him?
Sure thing.
You can't hang this on me. What about Laura?
Uncle Wayne!
Would Pleasant have hit Madison over the head and fled when Miss Barton arrived here if Laura were in on the plan? Of course not. She'd have been privy to the masquerade.
Ah, damn it. I like this purse.
Ah, Inspector Kramer and his posse. What impeccable timing.
We heard the shot from the kitchen.
It's too late. My Gucci bag is dead.
Don't move, Stevens.
But I...
And don't talk either. What you say may be held against you and so forth.
The police have been here all along?
You telephoned Stevens while I telephoned the police.
But where is Uncle John?
Why, he's in this very room.
You mean...
I do.
The nice shoes, the charcoal, and I bet that's a wig.
Ow!
Dude, you have a nice head of hair for someone your age.
Uncle!
Yes, my dear, it's me.
Miss Barton told us her uncle used to be an actor on the stage.
So he was pretending to be a homeless guy begging for money.
But he was really surveilling the street corner.
So I gave a quarter to a millionaire?
Not very willingly.
Hey, that might be charcoal on your face, but the B.O. is real.
I can't believe you fooled everyone.
No one recognized me. Well, except, of course, you, Mr. Wolf.
Not recognition, Mr. Barton. Logic.
I never should have picked you as the patsy detective.
Unfortunately for you, you have no way of amending that poor decision.
Come on, Stevens. Let's get you down to the station and book so I can salvage some of my Christmas Eve. Hey, thanks, Wolf.
My pleasure, Inspector. My pleasure. Madison, open some beer for us.
Beer? Not eggnog or something more festive? How about a gingerbread martini? It's like having a cookie and a glass. With booze!
Foy!
I think you mean Bah Humbug. Unless that's copyrighted.
Well, I am feeling quite festive. I owe you a good deal, Mr. Wolf. How can I ever repay you?
Oh, I don't require much. You can just make out a festive check.
Sign your X on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Just pay me so I can get out of here. The New Adventures of Nero Wolf ran on NBC, producing only 26 episodes, airing between October 1950 and April 1951. The series was based on the detective genius originally created by Rex Stout in 1933. The role of Nero Wolf on this radio series was played by Sidney Greenstreet, who was regarded by Stout as being the perfect embodiment of the role. Unfortunately, Greenstreet, known for such films as The Maltese Falcon and Casablanca, had a similar physique to the iconic detective. He suffered from diabetes and kidney disease and passed away in 1954. Nero Wolf, in all the forms the detective took, from novels, radio, television, movies, and even a cookbook, is remembered for the great characterizations of Wolf and his assistant Archie Goodwin, who are still beloved in the world of noir today.
Hey everybody, it's Madison. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon!
What?
Like every other podcast out there?
Yes!
For only $5 a month, you can get sneak peeks and Madison exclusives. But mostly, you're helping to support our little indie show. Link in the show notes! But I know it's hard to financially support all of your favorite shows. So really, if you could write us a nice review, give us 5 stars, or a shout out on your favorite socials, anything to help get the word out would mean so much. Okay, announcer dude, roll the credits!
Madison on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talent Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talent Sage. Bran Peacock appeared as Nero Wolf. Other actors in the cast were Chelsea Greer as Laura Barton, Scott Barry as Inspector Kramer, Jerry Kokich as Wayne Stevens, the real John Barton was played by Paul Arabisi, and the Butler Pleasant posing as John Barton was played by Scott R. McKinley. A.J. Fidalgo appeared as the Beat Cop and Reporter 1, Joe Slepsky played Turner and the Sidewalk Santa and Reporter 2, Tom O'Connor appeared as Mike, and Julie Hoverson as Peg. Our announcer was James C. Taylor.